Brandon?
Yo, what's up, man?
Wow. What's up, hey. Dude? How are you?
I'm all right.
This sounds like just another day for you.
Yeah, man. Just another day, just killing it, getting that bread. You know what I mean? Just like fucking being savage. It's really cool.
Hell yeah, dude. Logan Paul would be proud.
Yeah. I'm in New York.
Yeah, thanks for letting me know you're leaving.
Yeah, no worries. I just completely forgot that you existed. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I forgot to tell you because I just was like really trying to get everything put together to come out here. And what's going on with you?
Did you enjoy my angry voice memos yesterday?
Yeah, very passive aggressive. Very, very great stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. No worries. So would you like to apologize to our audience for not even considering them?
I'm sorry, audience, for not even considering you. But I'm not sorry to Rye because I just don't like him. No, I'm sorry, both guys.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't know what to say. I'm just trying to have a delightful evening or delightful 4 days with my girlfriend, and I forgot to tell anybody.
Yeah, no worries. It doesn't hurt my feelings because I don't have a respect for you either.
Good, man. That's good. I'm glad we're on the same page.
Yeah. So what are you doing in New York, dude?
We're just hanging out. This is her Christmas gift.
Oh, cool.
I flew us out here.
Wait a minute. It's her Christmas gift to you?
No. Like, this is her Christmas gift from me.
Okay. Gotcha.
We're just hanging out. The second day, or yesterday when we got here, I went to one of those falafel carts.
Yep.
They have here and ate a pita or something with meat in it, and ended up throwing up the next day and was pretty much throwing up all day. We were just in bed for the whole day.
Nice.
It was great, and I'm kind of still recovering from that. And it's just great stuff.
Yeah, that sounds like a fun trip.
Yeah, it is, man. It's really great.
At least you're losing weight, right? Do you look skinny?
I'm skinny. I'm dehydrated. I look pale.
Nice.
And sorry, I just like sounded bad, but we've just been sleeping for like an hour.
Oh yeah, no problem. Is your girlfriend like right next to you right now?
No, I went outside in the hallway, so she could sleep a little bit more.
Wow, that sucks! Like your timing of getting sick on a trip. Well, I guess it happened. It happened at the falafel place, but that sucks, dude. I'm sorry. Sorry to hear that.
It's all right. I just figured, it was gonna happen. I knew it was probably something bad was gonna happen to me on this trip. It's okay. It's like my biggest fear.
Yeah.
It's all right. It's okay.
Yeah, it's all right. One thing, so I was like seasick on the cruise all week, and one thing that I found helped me feel better was whiskey. So just get shit-faced, and then you won't notice that you feel terrible.
Okay.
Yeah, and I would order ginger beer and whiskey because ginger beer settles the stomach, and then whiskey destroys it, and then they each cancel it out.
I feel like these are great medical tips.
Yeah.
But I've just been taking pills for like 2 days and eating saltine crackers and watching that movie Bird Box.
Oh yeah. What do you think of it? I saw it too. Don't give away any spoilers, but what do you think?
It's like A Quiet Place meets The Happening.
I never saw The Happening.
Oh,
but The Happening's Mark Wahlberg, M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah. It's when there's like plants that are like killing people or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like A Quiet Place mixed with that.
Yes, I like that.
It was pretty sweet. It has the silliest name of any movie I've heard.
Bird Box.
Like, for how intense it is, it's just the stupidest, most dumb name. You know what I mean? Like,
one thing that I didn't like about it, which this is a spoiler within the first 10 minutes of the movie, so it's not a big deal. They find out that, birds don't get sick.
Yeah.
And then once they discovered that, that's all the thought they put into it for the next 7 years. It was just like, well, birds don't get sick. No one ever thought, like, I wonder why.
Yeah. No one looked into it.
Yeah. I mean,
just like, yes.
Granted, they're in crisis mode and they don't have a lot of time to, like, do research, but I wish they would have acknowledged that.
Yeah, like, there's a scene with scientists that are like, the reason why birds are so, you know, and yeah. They never even really explain what the thing is, which is fine. They don't have to, but.
Right. Did you see the scene where Sandra Bullock was, like, looking out some type of window or a crack or something, and she saw people. There was a horse that wasn't sick after the virus hit. Do you remember that, seeing that horse?
I think so.
All right, yeah, because then I thought, like, oh, okay, horses don't get sick either. But then it was never mentioned again or seen again in the movie.
Huh.
And I'm a professional movie critic, and I write my own script, so I know what it takes to write a good script, and there's flaws there.
Yeah, man. I mean, it feels like it. Like, you should write Sandra Bullock and tell her that her movie is flawed. They should have called the movie Horse Immunity. You know,
Horse and Bird Immunity.
Horse and Birds. yeah, it was fine. I just was like, it was funny. I was like, that's like a straight 6.5. Like, when it ended, because we didn't look at, like, any reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, oh, no, it's probably more. And I looked at IMDb, and it's, like, literally a 6.5.
Oh, wow. Wait, really? 6.5? I'm thinking Rotten Tomatoes.
No, I'm like, IMDb. And Rotten Tomatoes, it's, like, 65%, too.
Oh, okay.
I was like, yeah, it's, like, 6.5.
Wow, right on.
But...
Good job.
Yeah. It was good. I liked it. But right now, like I said, we're just in bed. You know, just trying to, I mean, I'm outside in the hallway.
Right.
And, you know,
it's fun, dude. The Big Apple.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll let you get back to bed, cause I got to do a read for Hymns, which you have clearly not ordered yet. How's your dying hair doing?
It's great. It looks like, if you haven't watered the plants for like 5 days or 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just decaying, just fucking, No volume. Great.
Yeah. Well, you got to order your Hymns, dude. Come on. There are spots.
Yeah, man.
And use promo code DAD when you check out. Check out.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I really do.
Did you notice my weird inflection? Use promo code DAD when you check out.
When you check out. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
well,
you're just odd in general.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of out, I'm probably going to edit that out. All right. I'll let you go. Go back to masturbating near your sleeping girlfriend. Why did I say that? Go to bed.
I'm going to go to bed.
All right. Tell we say your name. Tell Lacey I said hi.
Okay, man. Yeah, I'll tell her you said hi.
All right. And I'll tell Jenny you said,
Yeah, tell Jenny I did a Scooby-Doo voice.
All right, dude. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Peace, man.
Bye.
Bye.
What a fucking dick. I hope he fucking dies. Food poisoning? I hope it's anthrax poisoning. That stupid bitch. Motherfucker goes away, doesn't even tell me. He's half of this business. We're business partners. This whipped motherfucker goes, hey, babe, want to go to New York? Nothing else matters. Then he gets sick because karma's a bitch. And I had anthrax put in his falafel. Fuck you, Brandon. You're fired. No, just kidding. I don't even think I have firing power. It's 50% his. You mean it really was only a verbal contract that is 50% each other's podcast? But, you know, if he keeps on bailing on me, I'm just going to take all the rights and all the money that we make. And we make millions. Excuse me. All right, guys. It's just me for the rest of the podcast. Well, it's me and our lovely sponsor. Before I get into it, we already teased it a little bit, but I love our sponsors. It makes me feel like a professional. It makes me feel proud of myself that brands trust us to endorse them. And I actually buy their products. I got the Hymns ED pills. They're on their way. Just want to try it out. I want to see if it makes me a king. All right, maybe they won't like this read. But this episode is brought to you by Hims. Hims is a new wellness brand for men. We've talked about it before. Brandon still hasn't ordered it, as you can see by his dying hair. Brandon is 24. And did you know that 66% of men lose their hair by age 35? Brandon is totally screwed. Brandon's got to get Hims. The thing is, when you start to notice your hair loss, it's too late. Just like Brandon. And I've asked Brandon if he's noticed his hairline slowly starting to move back. And he's like, yeah. He's like, do you have any bald spots? He's like, not yet. But they're coming in. Then I think, like, get on top of it, dude. Start treating your hair. And Hims is the perfect choice for him because they're one of our sponsors. And you get a discount when you use promo code DAD. I don't know why Brandon's not doing it. And if you're a young man who is thinning out there, I feel for you. Hair is important to men in our culture. So I would highly suggest going to forhims.com. That is the solution. Forhims.com. It's a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, and sexual wellness for men. I'm going to look into that sexual wellness stuff because I cannot get it up. Oh, man. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional, people. It's optional, Brandon. Are you listening? Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. There is no waiting room, no awkward in-person doctor visits. You save hours by going to forhims.com. It's so easy. Here's how you do it. You order now. Our listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. See website for full details. Now, this would cost hundreds of dollars if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy. So you're saving a bunch of money by going to forhims.com/dad. To be more specific, go to forhims.com/dad. That's forhims.com/dad. Once again, forhims.com/dad. Brandon. All right, let's get the show on the road. Welcome back to the pod, everybody. How's everybody doing? You guys good? All right. No Brandon today again. Why? Because he's irresponsible and a bad person. So leave him send him some dick pics. That'd be awesome. Instead of being like, I miss you on the podcast, send him a dick pic. No context, just a dick pic. His Instagram is @BJCalvillo. His Twitter is the same. And his phone number is... Just kidding. That'd be awesome. I leaked one of my friend's phone numbers for like 2 minutes. I think it was on Twitter. Yeah, that was fun. One of my friends from back in Boston just got a bunch of texts saying like, Hey, Liam. He's like, what the fuck is happening? Oh, it was good stuff. Only left it up for 2 minutes because I don't want to like affect his life negatively. Motherfucker has 3 kids. God damn. One of my best friends growing up has 3 kids. Another one of my best friends has 2 kids. Has 2 kids. I have a lot of friends that have kids, guys. You hear me? Am I making sense to you? I'm 34. No kids. Just 1 cat. That's it. That's all I got to worry about. Just keep a roof above my head. Keep myself and my cat fed. That's it. Nothing to worry about. It's good stuff. But sometimes I do go home and see my family who all have kids, and I'm like, oh, maybe I should do that. But then again, sometimes I look at homeless people and think, maybe I should do that. So maybe my judgment's off. What should I do? I'll just be single forever. And when I say single, I just say not married. I have a girlfriend, okay? Jenny Austin. Instagram handle is Jenny Austin. Send her a dick pic. Excuse me. Sorry. Don't send her a dick pic. Please don't. Just follow her. It's Jenny Austin. She's hot. Fellas. All right, fine. Send her a dick pic. Oh, that's terrible. I receive dick pics sometimes on Snapchat. Hate Snapchat. Don't like it. a thing like it. Because you don't know what you're about to see on Snapchat. Sometimes it's a penis. Then I'm like, well, now I have that to think about. It's fine. It's just a body part, but I don't know. I'd rather boobs. I'd rather just delete Snapchat, maybe. I want to throw my phone into the fucking ocean. But I will not rant about phones again. I will not do that to you guys. Right now, my setting is I'm sitting on my couch where we normally record. I'm in my living room / studio. Ralph, my cat, is basking in the sun like a true fat fuck. I'm resenting her. I'm looking at her thinking, God, I want your life. Arrgh, fuck you. What are you doing to contribute to this, Ralph? No answer. Doesn't even care to know what her name is. Fucking bitch. Selfish cunt. One day I hope to grow up and live like my cat. Just lick my asshole all day, bask in the sun, decapitate some mice, bask in the sun, sleep, eat, lick my asshole. That's all I want to do in life. I want to just not care when people are talking to me. When people call my name, I'm just like, doesn't even register. Like, right here, I'll call for Ralph. Ralph! Ralphie! Ralph. All right, cool. I made one of her ears move. One of her ears moved slightly in my direction to be like, what the fuck is that sound? God, here we go again. Took Ralph to the vet last week because she's been limping in one of her legs. One of her tiny little legs. It makes me sad. Sorry. Yeah, I went to the vet. She's fine. Might have arthritis due to obesity because she's got 80 pounds of stomach weight sitting atop her tiny little legs. Poor thing. That lazy bitch. I want her life. God damn. All right, so this is like a prelude to the podcast I'm starting next month, my solo pod. What do you guys think I should call it? If you have an idea for a name of what I should call my solo podcast, let me know. Email us at, or email me at, imsorrydadpod@gmail.com. And you could also email both me and Brandon there if you have questions or comments or anything like that. imsorrydadpod@gmail.com. Yeah, I'm excited for my solo podcast. A little bit scared, though. Like, doing this right now for you guys, since I know this is going to be listened by a lot of people, scary. Because this is my... I'm not used to being alone on this podcast, so, like... Ooh! I'm a little self-conscious that this is going to be boring, but... Hey, gotta power through. Gotta fail until you don't. You know what I mean? Oops, thousands of people are listening. Oops, if I suck at this, everybody knows. No room to fail. Everyone's watching. That's one of the curses of being an A-list celebrity, guys. I can't go anywhere without people asking for photos. Can't go anywhere with people saying, hey, be funny. God, man, I don't know. Models are always trying to fuck me, and I have a girlfriend, so I cheat on her and fuck the models. Obviously, I'm an A-list celebrity. I'm pretty much like, I look a lot like Bradley Cooper. Bradley Cooper and Taye Diggs. Everyone says I look like Bradley Cooper, Taye Diggs, or Peter Dinklage. You decide. Or Perez Hilton. I think more so Taye Diggs. I also kind of think I look like Dr. Dre. We have the same body type. I don't know. And I have the heart of... Peter Dinklage. It's weak, and I'll be dead before all of my friends. That's my plan. I kind of look like Peter Dinklage. He is the dwarf from Game of Thrones. Amazing actor. I think one of the best actors out there. And I kind of look like him, and he's a dwarf. It's kind of funny. I've been posting on my Instagram story. Like I posted a photo of Peter Dinklage on a red carpet and just captioned it like TBT, my first red carpet event 1 year ago today. And it's a picture of Peter Dinklage. Makes me laugh so hard. And on my last stand-up show, I made a flyer for it. So like I had a list of all the comedians and a photo of them. So it was Brian Redband, photo of Brian. Annie Letterman, photo of Annie. Then it was Rye Doon, photo of Peter Dinklage. Just to confuse people. And I gave... that version of the flyer to other comedians. They're like, yo, dude, can you Do you have a version with the actual photo of you? All my friends are asking if Peter Dinklage is actually performing. Ah, good stuff. I should do a Peter Dinklage impression. What does he sound like? He doesn't have an accent, so I don't know why I'm doing that. Peter Dinklage talks very proper. He was trained in theater. Nah, don't sound like him at all. Let's look up a Peter Dinklage video and see if I can do an impression. That'll be fun. YouTube. Oop, that's YouPorn. YouTube. Guess you guys know what I watch most of the time. Just not basic porn, the popular stuff. Just traditional woman having sex with her stepson. That's the type of thing I like to watch. All right, Peter Pan is the first thing that comes up. All right, good to see he's still doing well. All right, let's see if I can do a Peter Dinklage impression. This is Peter Dinklage addresses the class of 2012, Bennington College. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I am Peter Dinklage. Right. Oh, please, please.
Don't be frightened.
Don't be frightened. Don't be frightened. Is there a T at the end of frightened, Pete?
When a Bennington student, 10 minutes before you come up to the podium, hands you a mace.
Not a lot of talking yet, but when a Bennington student, 10 minutes before you give your speech, hands you a mace. Let's go. Fast forward here. Nailed it.
It wasn't like a prop. That shit was real. Thanks, Ben. So now I'm gonna read.
That could be one of the hooks of his impression. Now I'm gonna read. So, now I'm gonna read.
And I'm not off book.
And I'm not off
book. Sorry, I might be looking down a lot.
Ooh, that's deep. He's got a deep-ass voice.
Thank you, President Coleman.
President Coleman. I think that's the key to this impression. To go high to low. Thank you, President Coleman. I don't know. Let's keep going.
Brian Conover.
So deep. Brian Conover. Ah, I can't get that deep. Brian Conover. All right, well, let's move on. I'm afraid I'm boring you. But that is how I find out if I can do impressions. I listen for what could be the hook or like the thing that I could do that makes people know I'm doing an impression of that person. Or just focus on one little thing they do. And then the audience is like, they do that. Like Jay-Z always sounds like he's crying, pretty much.
All right, I thought that.
Even his last laugh sounds like a cry, even though I really exaggerate his laugh.
It's your boy Jay-Z, always about to cry. Beyonce, she's more popular than me.
Yeah, that's how I try to do impressions. You pinpoint what makes it weird. That's why I like doing John Oliver. John Oliver. Dr. Oz is not a doctor. He's a quack. I don't know. What was I fucking doing? Why did I talk about Peter Dinklage? Oh, it's because I'm an A-list celebrity and people think I look like Taye Diggs in Peter Dinklage. What was I talking about before that? No idea. Welcome to the podcast. Oh, boy. I should just call it the ADD cast because I have ADD, y'all, like pretty bad. It's not really that fun. Like, For all I know, I could put the mic down and go start doing something else without even knowing it. And it's still have it stay recording. But I was in Tempe, Arizona recently with Jamie Kennedy opening for JK. Super fun. Awesome crowds. And my hotel room, it was cool. I was on the road, got my hotel room paid for by the club. I was like, yay, I'm doing it. And Tempe, Arizona is a college town. The Sun Devils. Arizona State University Sun Devils. They're in Tempe. So it's a college town, and my hotel was clearly marketed to young people. Because in my hotel room, there is an acoustic guitar, just in case a douchebag is in the room with you and wants to play Your Body is a Wonderland, because that's the only way he can get laid. Your body is a wonderland. I learned how to play guitar in my first year of college, because it helps me get girls, and it makes me have a purpose. It's my identity. I don't have an identity. Body is one land. Who am I? I'm the guy at the party playing the acoustic guitar, because I don't know who I am. Nobody does, because it's college. Da 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 da. Who am I? What is happening? Who are you? What do I do? Oh my God, I'm panicking about life. Anyways, that was my hotel room. I had an acoustic guitar, had a painting of Adele on the fucking wall. What? What if I don't like Adele? It's a scary painting right by the bed. So you wake up and Adele's staring you at the eyes. Hello, it's me. I just thought that I would watch you while you sleep. It's okay. I forget how that melody goes. What's another Adele song? Nothing's coming to me. Adele. I forget. Whatever. I got to move on. Just can't leave dead air there. Yeah. My hotel room had an acoustic guitar for douchebags and a Adele painting for everyone, I guess. That one was for everyone. And then there was a poster with a motivational quote on it. And it was just live, laugh, love. We've all seen that. And that made me reminded me of college, because it was, I don't know. I feel like most oftentimes girls will have quotes that they put on their dorm room walls. I don't know. Women, I don't know. I don't want to generalize women, but, you know, the whole pillows with live, laugh often, love much, whatever. Those are just, like, things that help you, like, simplify life, right? It's like, life's crazy out there. Look at this poster, and it gives you simple instructions. I Googled some. Here's one. Simple instruction. If you're having a bad day, there's a poster out there that says, enjoy every moment. Ah, everything's better. Actually, that stresses me out. Enjoy every moment? Jesus Christ. How about sadness? You need sadness? Enjoy every moment? The pressure's on, guys. Are you enjoying this moment right now? Well, then you're losing. Enjoy every moment. Yeah, I don't like that poster. I don't like that phrase, whatever. Here's another one. Be the reason someone smiles today. That sounds nice. You know what? I'm going to take that information, process it in my head. And what I'm going to do with it is I'm going to go walk around town and tell women to smile more. Thank you, poster. Be the reason someone smiles today. Hey, you should smile more, baby. Girls get told that a lot on the street, I hear. You should smile more. Shut the fuck up. Fuck you. That would piss me off if someone told me that. Smile more. Fuck you. That would make me angry. The opposite of smiling. But the poster said, be the reason someone smiles today. So I'm going to go walk around town and tell hot women to smile more. Not ugly women, because I don't care about them, because they're physically unattractive. That's the way the world works. It's on a poster. Here's another poster. If you're ugly, you don't matter. Boom. All right? I'm going to put that up on my wall. I'm just kidding. Here's another poster, a real one. Be the kind of person you'd like to meet. That's bad advice for me, because I would find it fascinating to meet a serial killer. Yeah, I want to talk to a paranoid schizophrenic. I want to talk to serial killers, see what's up, see what's good. I want to talk to some fucked up people to see what their life's all about. So that's the people I want to meet. So with that said, be the person you want to meet. All right, I guess I'll go kill some people. I need to give myself some schizophrenia. Let's get me some mental shock therapy. Shock therapy, whatever the fuck it's called. Here's one that I like. Motivational quote slash poster. Be happy and smile. Okay. Done. Also, isn't that a little redundant? Happiness. If you're happy, you're probably smiling. So be happy and smile. Hey, don't need to say and smile. Sound like Chris D'Elia. I've been listening to Chris D'Elia's podcast a lot, and I end up talking like them, like him, which is a dangerous thing to do in the comedy community. Ugh. Hey, be happy and smile, bro. Hey, how about, oh, it's redundant, bro, okay? You don't need to add smile, because when you're happy, you're smiling, bitch. Hey. That was my bad impression of Chris D'Elia. Laugh as much as you breathe. Love as much as you live. Laugh as much as you breathe. Well, that's impossible. I'm always breathing. Does that mean I should always be laughing? Not only is that impossible to find humor nonstop throughout the day, but laughing nonstop would kill me. Then the next one is love as much as you live. If I'm laughing nonstop, I'm going to die. Love as much as you live, I won't love at all. Because I'll be fucking dead. I'll die of laughter. I don't know why little things like piss me off. I hate those posters. Another thing that pissed me off yesterday, I went grocery shopping. I don't know if this is just an LA thing. I went grocery shopping at Ralph's. We'll call it a Stop and Shop, whatever you have. And immediately upon stepping in, as you enter, right above the doors, there's a fan just blowing hard straight down in your head. Just blowing air hard straight down your head. And I'm growing my hair out because I have glorious, beautiful, perfect hair. And it blew my hair, like, into my eyes. And it started my experience off negatively. No one gives a fuck about this. I might be the only one person who hates that. Email the podcast, imsorrydadpod@gmail.com. Let me know if you hate the air blowers that always seem to be at the doorway, the threshold of grocery stores. I got into an altercation on the road the other day. Some dude cut me off, and it was dangerous, so it, like, made me angry. So I pulled up next to him and just gave him a thumbs down. Just gave him a thumbs down. And then he pulled his window down, and he was just like, "You suck." I was with my girlfriend. We both just laughed. It was just funny. He pulled his window down just a little bit, reached his lips up to it, and just said, "You suck." In that tone of voice, just, "You suck." And then as he drove by, he said, "You're wasting everyone's time." And then, like, he went 20 feet up the road, and he stuck out his middle finger. It was, like, half-extended middle finger. And he just, like, peeked it out the window, like, very briefly. Pink. "You suck. You're wasting everyone's time. Pink." It's like, man, I could have probably beat his ass, judging from how he handled my thumbs down. "You suck." And it was funny because we were at a red light. Like, he cut me off and almost caused an accident. And we ended up at the same place. So his argument, "You're wasting everyone's time." It was incorrect. And he gave me a weak middle finger. It's like, if you're going to do a finger, commit to it, dude. Don't fucking go. Don't half extend your finger and then bink your hand out the fucking window, pussy. I shouldn't say pussy. Sorry. I got into severe road rage once in L.A. It's when I was visiting L.A. for my first time, my first week out here, back in 2014, I think it was. I was on my way to a public speaking event. I was speaking on a panel about social media and Vine, and I was late, and I thought this was going to be like a very, 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 very important event for me because I was in L.A., got asked to speak, so I was like, all right. Let's kill it. Let's kill it this week. Kill it. Woo! And I was trying to get past a guy in front of me, and he kept on cutting me off in front of me, just choosing to not let me pass because he was just being a dick. he's having a powerless day and needed some power in his life. So I just happened to be there. He wouldn't let me past him. And I'm trying to get past him. Both lanes, we're swerving back and forth. I'm trying to pass him. He's just being a complete cock. I'm getting enraged. I'm thinking I'm late for this fucking meeting because this douchebag is so insecure that he won't let me fucking pass him. He's having so little power. He has so little power in his life that he's using the only power he has to prevent a stranger from passing him on a two-lane street. I couldn't fucking believe it. I was raging. I was screaming in my car. Like, what the fuck? Not at him yet. I'll get there. Just screaming at the world. What the fuck? Man, I was enraged. And then we ended up at a red light together. Because that's just what happens. And I was fucking raging. But at the same time, I didn't want him to keep doing it. I really wanted to get by him. So I thought, in the split second timing, I thought, like, what can I say that can make this motherfucker both leave me alone and also kind of defuse the situation? Because we were both furious at that time. So I pull up next to him. I roll my window down. I'm like, roll your fucking window down. Then he starts talking shit. And I screamed, my wife's having a fucking baby. I screamed that at the top of my lungs. My wife is having a baby. And it worked. Completely diffused the situation. He was like, oh, all right, go. I was like, yeah, thank you, fucking dick. Yeah, so I made up that lie so he would let me the fuck go to my fucking meeting. My wife's having a fucking baby, and I don't even know if there was a hospital in that area. But I made him feel bad for preventing me from seeing my child's birth. So fuck that guy. He deserves it. I hope he believed me. I mean, he did. And I hope he thought about it. I missed the birth of my child just because of that guy was having a perilous day. What a monster. Speaking of monsters, I've been listening to Chris D'Elia's podcast, and he's been shitting on ski culture, and that's my passion, and I shred, gnar. So to have a fellow comedian just, like, shit on my people, it's, like, kind of an act of violence, and it's hate speech. So, I mean, let's destroy Chris D'Elia's career. I think we should do it. Here's what he had to say about skiing. It's, like... It's really offensive. Trigger warning, guys. If you're easily offended, turn this off right now because straight white male is about to speak. Here we go. God.
Skiing, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. What?
Is so white.
Racist.
It's unbelievable.
Racist. Just kidding. I'm doing a riff here, guys. I'm doing a bit here. I'm challenging Chris D'Elia's opinions about skiing because I love skiing. Why? Because I shred. I don't ski. I fucking shred. Bitch. But I agree, Chris. Chris D'Elia is correct. Skiing is very white. I've been skiing since I was 2 years old. I've never seen a minority on the ski mountain. Just kidding. I mean, obviously I have. But it's rare. Skiing is so fucking white. It's so expensive. It's so elitist. It's so snobby. It's like sailing or like golf. I mean, golf's not that white. But it's just one of those sports where it's elitist and snobby. You know what I mean? Sailing, golf, skiing, fucking polo. Anyways, back to skiing and Chris D'Elia's hate speech. Did I mention this earlier? Whenever I listen to Chris D'Elia's podcast, I end up talking like him, which is not that cool. But I'll do it for the sake of this bit.
First of all, you have a fucking lift take you to the top of the mountain, you bitch.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the lift, Chris, I look down on resort skiers as well. But CD, if you saw me shred, you would know that I do it the right way. I, like, literally climb up mountains, okay? And I shred down in the pow. And I shred the gnar. Face shots, cliff drops, freshy pow pow. That's the way I shred, Chris D'Elia, you monster. Hey, bro, for sure don't ski.
Okay,
Okay.
Climb up, bitch. Get a fucking ice axe.
Yeah.
Climb up, you fucking bitch.
I do, bitch. I can't believe Chris is personally attacking me.
All right? So you get a chair. You get a chair in the fucking sky to take you to the top of the mountain. You good for nothing, bitch. All right? Then you get to the top. You've got fucking $1,000 blades on your feet, bitch.
Here's where I start to deviate from Chris's opinions. What's bitch about having blades? Having blades in your feet. That sounds fucking awesome. $1,000 blades on my feet? That sounds like I got a Glock in my Yari. $1,000 blades on my feet. I got a Glock in my Yari. That's awesome. It sounds like I have samurai swords on my feet, and I'm so badass that I shred the gnar with my blades. Oh my God, I'm so deeply hurt by this. I'm going to take a sip of coffee.
There's not enough fucking action in skiing. You go down the mountain, it takes 4 seconds, and then you're on the lift for fucking 12 and a half hours. It's like the flight to Australia.
Okay, first of all, triggered, because I've never been to Australia. I can't afford it. So, offensive that he would assume that I can afford a flight to Australia. Okay? What do you mean? Not relatable. It's a fucking monster. What did he say before that? What did he just fucking say? I can't rewind on this. Oh, yeah. The act of skiing? Not enough action? Well, those are bad skiers. Those are people who rent. Those are people who rent skis. They don't own their blades. I own blades. And they're fucking sharp and they shred. And when I go skiing at resorts, I seek out, first of all, Freshy Pow Pow, the powder for face shots, cliff jobs. If there's no Pow Pow, I look for the bumps, the moguls, or the trees, the glades, you know? Dangerous stuff. If there's no moguls or trees, maybe I'll do some hard carving on the groomers, the corduroy. Hard, deep carves. Impressive. Practically lying side. Every carve I make, I'm lying down on my side, becoming one with the mountain. And if there's no groomers, I go into the fucking park and get gnar, dude, because I am gnar. I join my fellow teenage assholes in the terrain park. Everyone's scared, so everyone's being a dick. And before we go off jumps, we're just like, fuck you, I'm scared. Ah! And then we land, or I land, because I have literally never fallen on skis. So I'll do like a triple backflip, land perfectly, and then I just flip off my fellow teens at the top of the hill and say, fuck you, fucking bitches. I shred, okay? Okay? Hey, bro, I for sure shred, okay? Crystal Lou.
Bitch.
Hey!
Anytime you gotta hold poles to get somewhere, stop, you lazy bitch. Skiing, dude.
All right, then it started over. God damn, he makes me laugh. I mean, he makes me feel offended. By the way, I know Chris, but not nearly well enough to like, but like, I don't know.
Well, God damn it, my car just ran out of room, so I just had to switch cars, and it took like 5 minutes. I just lost my momentum. I think I was just sucking Chris D'Elia's dick.
What did I just record? I have it right here.
I mean, he makes me feel offended. By the way, I know Chris.
Yeah?
But not nearly well enough to like...
Oh, okay.
But like...
Here, I'm just going to play that again and just go from where I went. It'll be entertaining, right? Ready? This will be flawless and seamless. You won't even know that I had pre-recorded the earlier thing. Check this out, dude. Professional podcaster.
He makes me feel offended. By the way, I know Chris, but not nearly well enough to, like, but like, I...
like talk shit about him, you know? Like, I'm just busting his balls. But normally you do that. To, like, friends, you know? So, kind of hope he doesn't hear this. Might be weird. Might be weird for him. It's like, what? Why are you fucking playing my podcast on your podcast, bro? Hey, bro, for sure, don't play my pod on your podcast, bro. Hey, bro. Hey, right, dude. Hey, for sure, don't call podcast pods. It doesn't matter. If you haven't listened to Chris's podcast, I highly recommend it. It's called Congratulations with Chris D'Elia. And maybe I shouldn't, like, bust balls about comedians I respect. I don't know. It's a terrifying landscape, being an up-and-coming comedian. Terrifying! It's like when I go to the comedy store, it's like I feel, I don't know, I just keep my head down almost. Like sometimes I see Bill Burr at the comedy store, and whenever I see him, I look at the ground. And when I walk by him, I'll either look down or just look straight ahead. And it's because I'm such a huge fan of his that, I don't know, I get nervous around him and I get awkward and I just look at the ground. And I definitely do not want to be one of those comedians who thinks they can just be all of a sudden friends with any comedian, especially like a headliner. You can't just, you know, you're not equals. I'm a comedian just like Bill Burr, but we are fucking not equals. Just like me and Chris D'Elia, we're not equals. That's why I'm scared that I just did that bit about pretending he's offensive. I'm sure it's fine. I'm reading into this way too much. But Chris, if you're listening to this, which you aren't, but I respect you, and I'm friends with Mike, your opener. I'm friends with Jason Collings. Now, back to the comedy store being a horrifying place. The comedy store is one of the most famous comedy clubs in the world. It's where like Joe Rogan performs all the time. It's his home club. It's, you know, who do I see there? Bill Burr, I see there a lot. Chris D'Elia, I see there almost every time I'm there. He's always there. Annie Letterman, she's a comedy store comedian. She's been on the podcast. It's just the mecca for stand-up comedy. And as an up-and-coming comedian, or whatever the fuck I would call myself, as a new comedian, 6 years in, it can be an intimidating place. And I think it's intimidating for almost everybody. Just because there's like, goddamn, just like legends walking around everywhere. And me with just my head down. I think that's the right move, though. Definitely don't. I don't know. This is going to alienate most of my audience right now listening, but I book a monthly show at the Hollywood Improv, in the lab, the small room. And every month, a comedian who I've never met will come up to me and be like, "Hey, man, dude, great show. I'd love to be on it sometime." And it's like, I don't even know who you are. I'm not going to book you. I don't want to watch your tape. Maybe that's an asshole thing of me, but I only book my friends. Or if there's like a big name, I mean, I'll book a stranger, and I have. If I have room on the lineup, but the lineups fill up so quickly, and literally the only friends I have are comedians, so I have a lot of funny friends. So I'm going to book them. And I rotate it. You know. I try to get... Like, that's how I met Jamie Kennedy. I wasn't friends with him, but I asked him to do my show. And he was down. And now we're friends. So now we text. But yeah, it's just... It's an awkward situation when someone I've never met asks me if they can be on my stand-up show. I think that's just not how you're supposed to do it. I think you gotta be in the community first. You gotta know the booker. Unless you're just visiting from New York and you're in town for just a month, then I think it's okay to ask. But damn, a lot of comedians don't have a lot of patience. Like they'll be in their first year of comedy and ask bookers they've never met to be on their shows. That's not how you do it. Don't do that. Hey, for sure, don't, bro. One little thing I did, which was kind of manipulative. I manipulated my way on stage
I mentioned his name earlier. Jason Collings. I lied to my friend Jason Collings to get on stage. It was a harmless lie, though. Here's what happened. I was in L.A., and I was Googling what headliners were doing shows around town. I saw my good friend, Jason Collings. Key thing here, he's my good friend. He's my good buddy. Genuine friends. I saw that he was headlining at the La Jolla Comedy Store in San Diego. So then I texted him. I was like, yo, dude, I'm in San Diego. I'm here, man. I'm visiting a friend. I saw that you're at the Comedy Store in La Jolla. Any chance I can get some guest spots? No worries if not. Just figured I'd ask since I'm in town. What are the chances? Well, guess what? I was in L.A. So I bluffed. And he was like, yeah, I'll ask the owner. And then I got word that I could do 5-minute guest spots. And then I drove to San Diego. That's funny. I kind of like that. That's cool. The thing is, I know Jason. I'm friends with that headliner. So therefore, it was okay for me to inquire about a guest spot. But if I wasn't actual good friends with him, I put my head down. Put my head down and suck dick. That's what you got to do in Hollywood. All right, this podcast is getting a little bit long. I feel good, though. I feel kind of good about this. I had fun doing this. By the way, just letting you guys know, this is my fourth try. I have recorded 4 hours of podcasting, and I wasn't satisfied until right now. So I think that just about does it. January 17th. Oh, I'll start with January 10th, this Thursday, tomorrow, if you're listening on the day this comes out. I'm at the Comedy Store, the terrifying Comedy Store with I'm hosting for Christina Pajitsky. It's a big, big gig for me because I'm going to have some industry in the audience watching me, judging me to see if they want to sign me. So that'll be the most horrifying night of my life. I'll just put my head down. I'll get to the mic and just put my head down and not talk. Because who knows? Bill Burr might be in the fucking room. Tom Segura is performing. Christina Pajitsky's performing. That's already scary. All right. On with it, Ryan. January 10th, Comedy Store, 8:30 p.m. I'm hosting for Christina P. January 17th, I'm in Thousand Oaks, California. Thousand Palms. Plan B. It's a bar called Plan B in Thousand Palms, California. It's near Palm Springs. So that I'm there January 17th with Elton Castay and Jay Walker. Elton's been on the podcast. We're at a club called Plan B. It's a former strip club. So let's get weird. It's 21 plus, so bring your fake IDs. The show is at 9 p.m. I'm sorry I'm doing so bad saying my dates, but once again, January 17th, I'm at Plan B in Thousand Palms, California, 21 plus, 9 p.m. It's a former strip club. Let's turn it back into a strip club. All right. Love you guys. Let me know what you think about this solo podcast. Let me know if you liked it or even if you disliked it. Please give me some actual honest feedback because I want to learn and know how to do this well because I'm starting my own solo podcast next month. So tweet me, DM me. Email me, whatever you got to do. Just let me know your thoughts if you have the time. I'd appreciate it. All right. I love you guys. And now begins our Patreon shoutouts. These are the people that donate $25 a month to our Patreon page, which is patreon.com/I'm Sorry Dad. For $25 a month, you get a personalized shoutout in addition to all the content that's already up there. So first up, Desiree. $25 a month patron. Desiree, I love you. Thank you so much for sparing that change. I know it's kind of a lot, and Brandon and I are very grateful for it. So thank you, Desiree. Next up, we got Ross Miller. Still with us. Ross, thanks, dude. Appreciate it. $25 a month. That means a lot because it is a lot. This is getting a little repetitive, but on behalf of Brandon Calvillo and myself, we love you, Ross Miller. Next up, Steve Marshalek. Hell yeah! Our first patron. I think he was our first ever patron. Steve, thank you for donating $25 a month. It means a lot, because it is a lot. Did I just say that? Oh, righty then. Thank you, guys, and I'm sorry, Dad.